check our mobiles and see that their team and pocket cameras can stay in the pockets. Om Agana Tiniranthasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kada Vaikam Tathati Shapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Gajanatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Setam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanta Chanascha He Krishna Karuna Sindhau Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Karamami Bodhi Priye Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasanto yaevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vajradhani Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, thank you very much for coming to today's program. The topic this evening is gods and God. In Sanskrit, Ishara. God is called Ishara. Ishara means the person who has control. Ishara. From one point of view, every one of us is Ishara. Because every one of us has some control. If I am a big capitalist, I may control a company or a multinational corporation. If I'm a big politician, I may control a country or a province, or a city. Otherwise, I may control my family, or I may control some, if I'm influential, some friends, or finally, I may control, if I have nothing else, I control my cat or my dog. Tell my dog, sit, and the dog sits. So, every one of us has some area of control. We see it as bureaucrats, you know, they get to sit at a desk and they control whether or not you can get a passport, whether or not you can get your item out of customs, whether or not you can get the permit that you need. And they exercise some control, often in return for some remuneration. So everyone is a controller to some extent. Some extent. Or rather, I'm thinking I'm the controller. Because I'm saying I'm in control, but I'm under control. I'm under the control of the three modes of material nature. I'm governed by goodness, by passion, by ignorance. Prakate kriyamanani gunaya karmani sarvasham. And events also are not under my control. Sometimes the big capitalist makes some move to control and things spin out of his control. The politician tries to control, things spin out of his control. Even sometimes we try to control the dog and the dog bites us. I'm thinking I'm the controller, but control is not finally in my hands. Finally death comes, and who can control death? For that matter, before death, disease comes, old age comes, and we try to exercise some control by medical treatment, by change of diet, by living a different change of lifestyle. But finally, disease creeps up on us no matter what, old age creeps up on us no matter what, and death takes us no matter what. So what happens to my claim to being controller under the circumstances? In family life, I claim that I'm in control, but actually my wife is in control. Or I claim that I'm in control, but my senses are in control. I'm trying to do this or do that, but the senses are dragging me this way or that way. We want this, we want that. And where the so-called controller is the servant of his senses. There's a place in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's either Muchukunda or the kings who were liberated by Lord Krishna from the clutches of Jarasandha. I think it may have been Muchukunda. He said to the Lord that while acting as a king, I was going out and conquering this country, conquering that country, and then I would come back and I would fall at the feet of the women for sense gratification. Such a big controller. But he's controlled by his lusty desires, controlled by his senses. So I'm saying that I'm the controller. And controller means God, Ishar. I'm claiming to be Ishar, but I'm controlled. I'm under control. That means I'm an illusion. I'm thinking I'm the controller. Or I'm yes, I'm controller of something. But I don't see how I'm controlled. Even so foolish, sometimes I'm so foolish that I claim outright that I'm God. Or some Swamiji said, I'm God, you're God, we're all God. And to some extent that's true, because I'm a controller, you're a controller, the next man is the controller. The Swamiji is controlling his disciples. So every one of us is a controller. But every one of us is controlled. Therefore, the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Ekala Ishvara Krishna. Our Sabhutya. There's only one supreme controller, Krishna. And everyone else is servant of Krishna. And everyone else is dancing as he's pulling the strings. From another point of view, therefore every one of us is controller, but to different degrees. Someone is controlling me, someone is controlling him, someone is controlling him. That person is also controlled, that person. Finally, we come to Parameshwara. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhi Govinda Sarva Karmaka. From another point of view, another Sanskrit word is Deva. Everyone may be Ishvara to some extent, but only some are Devas. Dvalbhuta Sargalokesmin Daiva Asudeva. The Vishnu Bhakta Smrita Deva Asuras Tadvikari. The Devas are the godly persons. They're also called gods. They're also called gods. Because they're godly. And the opposite are the demons. Asuras Tadvipari. The godly persons are the ones who are always looking toward the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadam Pashyanti Sudam. They're the godly persons. Those who follow the directions of God, those who engage in the devotional service of God, are called devas. So in this world, we find always two classes of persons. The godly persons, just like Prahlad Maharaj, is one of the godly persons. And Asura Tadvipariya, his father, Hiranyakashipu, was just the opposite, the demon, demonic person. So we can also be gods in that way, by being servants of the Supreme God. We can also be godly. And above us, on the higher planets, the residents of the heavenly planets are also called devas. Because they're all engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. The Chandra, Surya, Ganesha, so many, up to the level of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, are all godly. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are the most godly persons. So they are also called devas. Lord Shiva is Mahadev, very great deva. But still they're not on the level of the Supreme Personality of God. Yastu Narayanam Devam Prabhudradi Gayate Samatvainayva Vikshetam Vipashyati Vipashyati. Anyone who thinks that, generally people think that there's only Eka Brahma Dutiya Nasti, that Brahma, the Absolute, is one, and there's so many gods who represent that Absolute. But Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratishtha, that impersonal absolute Brahma comes from me. It rests on me. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is dedicated to the service of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's meant to bring one to the standard of being a godly person. The asuras are very much interested in intoxicants, gambling, meat eating, and illicit sex. But when one gives these things up and chants the holy name of the Lord and engages in devotional service, one becomes deva.
godly. One becomes godly.
Even those who are fallen, even those who are sinful, can be raised to the platform of Deva. Kirato Nanda Palinda Pulkasha, Apira Shumpa, Yavana Kashada, Ye Nyecha Papa, Yapashrayasha, Shudyanti, Tasmai, Puravishnavayami. Even though one may be uncultured, uncivilized, sinful, Papa, if one takes shelter of one who's taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can be purified. One becomes outwardly pure, pure in one's habits, pure in one's dealings, and inwardly pure in one's thoughts. By hearing and chanting about Krishna, by remembering Krishna, by engaging in the devotional service of Krishna. Actually, this is the purpose of human culture. Everything should be done in such a way that it leads one to thoughts of Krishna, to service to Krishna. Formerly, the Indian culture was like that, still to some extent. You go to India, and if there's some high hill or there's some beautiful place on the seashore, someone has built a temple there, and they're engaged in service. Formerly also in Europe, when there was some prominent location, they would build a church. Now, we build a hotel. If there's some nice location, then people build a resort, people build a hotel. And we engage in asuric activities, gambling, intoxicants, eating, this is us. But the Krishna consciousness, that means uncultured or degraded. So as Kali Yuga progresses, the society becomes increasingly degraded, and people take on the culture of the asuras by bad association, by being misled by so many leaders who are themselves asuras. But the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give guidance for those, so that one can become godly by engaging in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like fire, we also can become fiery by devotional service. And then we can enter into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without becoming fire, you can't enter into the fire. The water can't enter the fire. But the fire is in the fire. So by becoming Krishna conscious, Vishuddhe Tadanantana, one can enter into the association of Krishna. In this life also. Either we can turn on the television and associate with all rascals and fools, or we can chant Hare Krishna, hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, associate with devotees, and become Krishna conscious. So this movement is meant for that, to give everyone that opportunity. Hare Krishna. I saw some clipboard going around. What's on it? We sometimes pray to demigods for benedictions, but we hear that ultimately Krishna is the real bestower of benedictions. Therefore, Krishna is called Bharad Raj. Bharada means one who gives benedictions. And Raj, he's the best of the givers of benedictions. But sometimes it is said that Krishna also takes away material wealth. That's the greatest benediction. It's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when a king has a heavy turban on his head, when he falls in the water, he drowns faster. Oh, being misled, we're trying to get ourselves in deeper trouble in this material world. More wealth, more enjoyment, more happiness, more illusion. I was reading earlier about Gajendra, the elephant, and there's a considerably long description in Srimad Bhagavatam of the beautiful place where he was bathing in the water. There are three mountains, Triputa mountains, and there are jewels, and the atmosphere is so heavenly. Beautiful, gorgeous place. We think of some gorgeous people, of course, they come to Durban and they go to the beachfront, or they go to Mauritius, which is an island, tropical, or Hawaii, or sometimes if they don't like tropical weather, they go to Switzerland, to the mountains. And they place themselves in a very gorgeous atmosphere. But on the heavenly planets, the atmosphere is still more gorgeous. And one lives for a long lifetime, and so much sense gratification is there. And Gajendra was the king of the elephants, so he was really someone. And he's bathing in the water with his wives and his children. So it's like a beachfront holiday. And so much happiness is there. But then one crocodile was in the water and fastened itself to his leg. And no one could do anything. The wives were crying, the children were crying. They couldn't help the Gajendra. The other elephants couldn't help him. Nor was his own strength sufficient to allow him to overcome this crocodile. We see this even in ordinary affairs. Sometimes someone goes on holiday to the beach, and then he gets eaten by a shark or stung by the, what do they call that? Jellyfish, men of war, or the jellyfish, or the eels. Or gets pulled away by the tide and the lifeguards can't save him. He goes for enjoyment. And he winds up with suffering and death. That can happen. That not only can happen, it happens to everyone. Everyone comes to this life for enjoyment. And everyone winds up with death. So, Gajendra was there in this beautiful atmosphere to enjoy happiness with his family. And the crocodile spoiled everything. And the elephant was going to lose his life. But finally, seeing himself helpless, the elephant surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God. Please save me, please save me. Because that elephant had been a devotee in his previous life. He remembered the Lord when in difficulty and was saved from the greatest danger. So the benedictions of beauty and wealth, education, yes, appear to be so desirable, but they entangle us in this material world. So sometimes Krishna may grant these material benedictions, but when Krishna's still more favorable, he takes away these illusory enjoyments. And then one surrenders to him. And Chaitanya Charitamrita said, Lord Krishna is quoted as saying that someone is worshipping me for material benedictions because he's a fool. What is the use of these temporary blessings? He wants wealth, he wants this, he wants that. He's a fool. But I'm not a fool. So why should I give him something by which he'll not be satisfied, by which he'll again come back, sir, please give me this, please give me more. Instead, I'll take everything away and give him the nectar of my lotus feet. Yasya anu granami harishe tatanamshi. That's special mercy. He takes away this small, insignificant, and unsatisfying thing and gives us the eternal, permanent, unlimitedly valuable. Therefore, one who's intelligent, whether full of material desires or free from material desires or desiring liberation, is advised to engage in devotional service. Akama sarvakamo va moshakama udarati. Udarati means expansive intelligence, broad mind. Tivrena means very seriously. Bhakti yogena yajeta paramam purusham. One should engage very seriously in the bhakti yoga process by which to revive one's eternal connection with the Supreme Personality of God. End of clipboard questions. Any other questions, written or oral? There's a question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Why is there such a prolific culture of worshipping the demigods?
Why is there such a prolific culture of worshipping the demigods? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because people are materialists. They're thinking, let me get kshipram hi Manushe Loke. What is that? No. Kshipram Bhavati Garbhaja. Let us see. Where is that?
that.
Chiprahmi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. That's where it goes. People want quick results, and therefore they're worshipping the demigods. You know, it's an Indian mentality. I have a student who is working for a big pharmaceutical company, Merck Pharmaceutical Company. He himself is Indian, but he works in America. And the company started a joint venture in Bombay to manufacture, the Indian company would manufacture Merck chemicals under license. And Merck would have a share and so on, so they would make something on it. So this student, he's a chemical engineer, and he's Indian, so they thought he was the right man to get involved with the project. So he was going regularly and spending months at a time. But it was very difficult. Because there'd be some chemical process that's set up, you know, in the production line, this and then this and then this and then this, and then you come up with this. And somehow the process wouldn't work. Someplace along the line, something would be messing things up. And so he'd have to spend so much time. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Why is it not working? So he's an engineer, that's his job. Why is it not working? And he would find so many times, it's not working because the local company has cut corners. It's specified that there's a 3-millimeter pipe, so they make it a 2-millimeter pipe. And in this way they save, you know, 2 rupees. You know, we'll do it the fast way, we'll cut the corners, and we'll come out ahead. And the result is that nothing works. So, this is the problem. And you find it's not exclusively Indian, but so many times you go to India and you find that they're cutting corners in this way, they're cutting corners in that way, and therefore nothing works, or things don't work properly. I had our BBT auditor, he was in charge of traveling to different countries to check the BBT accounts. So he was from Bengal, he'd been in charge of financial audits for the Indian railways in Bengal. So he came to our BTG office in America. And we brought him from the airport, sat him down, turned on the tap and poured him some water, pulled on the cord and opened the curtains and did a few more things. He was looking. He said, in India, we have all these things. He said, but here everything works. Anyway, we try to cut corners and go the fast way. And then it becomes a failure. Even this sahajas, they're trying to do that. They want to jump into Goloka Vrindavan by skipping all of the regular principles, by skipping all of the Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharajikipiti. We'll just develop love for Krishna. We'll, whatever gives us praying, we'll do all of that. And then they become nonsense rascals. It's the same thing, trying to cut corners. Why spend another 3 rupees when I can just go the fast way? So this demigod worship is another shortcut. That we'll become happy by worshipping the demigods, Siddhir Bhakti Karma. We'll attain perfection. Kshipram, quickly. Kshipram hi manushe loke. Siddhir Bhakti Karma. But that perfection is a cheap perfection. That perfection will be finished. But kama is taister hita gana prapajyante yadevata. Why is demigod worship so prolific? Because fools are so prolific. Because fools are so abundant. The material world is put together in such a way, especially in Kali Yuga, that fools enjoy the majority. If you're wondering why our elected officials are so often fools, that's natural because the people who elect them are fools. So the fools will elect the fool. So Krishna says, Kama is taisar vita jnana prabhajyate yadevata. Those who are full of material desires, and on that account, have become deprived of their intelligence, deprived of knowledge. Krita jnana, krita means taken away. When one's desires become overwhelming, one loses his intelligence. What is that? Kama krodho vijayate, krodha bhavati sammoha. Sammahat smriti brahma, smriti brahmsha, udhinasha, udhinasha, pranasha. By too many material desires, one becomes bereft of intelligence. And then he just wants to make a beeline to satisfying his desires. Sometimes we see that a lusty man goes after a woman. Even though she's protected by her husband, she's protected by her father, protected by powerful relatives, but he's so foolish that he goes after her, and then they wipe up the floor with him. What was he thinking? He wasn't thinking, because the desires are there. Or we sometimes see in politics, it often happens, that some man has power, some man has prestige, some man has, reputation. He's a great senator, or he's a great congressman, or a member of parliament. And then he loses everything because he goes chasing after some common tart. What was he thinking? You know, he chases after some professional prostitute for the same thing that he could get at home anyway. But he loses his respectability, he loses his reputation, he loses his office, loses his salary, loses everything. His place in history is all. Everything gone. For the sake of little 2 moments of sense gratification. Even presidents and kings lose their wits. So it's almost the norm in the material world for people to be foolish. Not almost, I take that back. It's the norm in the material world for people to be foolish. And therefore it's normal for people to go after some temporary perfection by worshipping some demigod. Kama is taisterbita jnana. The tendency is there to worship some superior, to honor someone superior, to adore some superior. Nowadays, people are so degraded, it's not even the demigods in the higher planets, it's the demigods from Hollywood, or the demigods from Bombay, or the demigods who are standing on a stage with guitars and and drums and basses. Just like we're mad after Krishna, so we want to read Srimad Bhagavatam, we want to read Bhagavad Gita, we want to read all about the pastimes of Krishna. In Goloka Vrindavan, everyone wants to always talk about Krishna. What did Krishna do today? He killed such and such demon. Oh, Krishna is so great. They're so interested in talking about Krishna. Or they're talking, the residents of Vrindavan, the elderly, older ladies are getting together to complain in front of Yashoda Mai. That your boy is such a rascal that he comes to our house and he's stealing our yogurt and stealing our butter and he's doing this nonsense and he's doing that nonsense, and along with his friends they're climbing up, they're putting so many things together. Even when we put our yogurt hanging from the rafters, they punch a hole in it and they get it. When we put it into some dark place, they have some sort of effulgence, they see it, they get it. And now he's sitting there just like a very nice, innocent boy, pretending that he's not doing any sort of mischief, but we know what kind of boy he is. Why don't you control him? So they're coming to lodge complaints, but actually their purpose is to talk all about Krishna. That's their purpose. It's their enjoyment to talk about how bad Krishna is. They're enjoying. So the devotees of Krishna glorify Krishna. And the devotees of the demigods are very interested in glorifying the demigods, hearing about the activities of the demigods, trying to satisfy the demigods. And the persons who are lower are very interested in reading Stardust and finding out about the pastimes of some low-grade couple from Hollywood. Not because they're not even to the standard of the demigod worshippers. At least those who are worshipping the demigods, tam tam niyamam astaya prakritya niyatasvaya, according to their nature, they're following some rules and regulations. They're gradually elevated because these things are there in the Vedas as an accommodation for those who have too many material desires. All right, you can worship the demigods. At least you're accepting authority and gradually you'll be elevated. But those who are still lower, why rules and regulations? Why austerity? Hiranyakashipu, at least he was performing some tapasya for the wrong purpose, for the wrong object. But something at least. Hiranyakashipu, we have to give credit where credit is due. But now in the modern context, they'll just make a beeline for sense gratification without acknowledging any higher authority, without following any rules and regulations. So they're still more degraded. What is that? Yajanti Satvika Devaha. Those who are supposed to be in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Yajanti Satvika Devaha. Okay. Then Rakshamsi Rajasa. Bhutagarams Chanye, Vijanti Hams, see if we find that. Vijante Satvika Devan, Yaksha Rakshamsi Rajasa, Kretan Bhutagarams Chanye, Yajante Tamasa Jana. Those who are supposed to be in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. Those who are transcendental worship. Those who are in the mode of goodness may worship different demigods. And Yaksha Rakshamsi Rajasa, those who are in the mode of passion worship the demons. Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita as it is, that in his acquaintance there was one gentleman who, during World War II, was making money, maybe on the black market, on account of the German advances in that political situation. And Prabhupada said, so he was worshipping Hitler. And Prabhupada illustrated on one morning a walk in Los Angeles, he said he was worshipping Hitler. Jaya Hitler, Jaya Hitler, Jaya Hitler. So Yaksha Rakshamsi Rajas, where we mentioned that they're worshipping, they're adoring, they're giving their heart to some singer, some performer, some actress, some actor. Yaksha Rakshamsi. The actor is, the singer is a drug taker, woman hunter, all of these things. Rakshasa. Or they're worshipping some politician, again another species of rakshasa. And pretam bhutaganams janye yajante tamasajana. Those who are in the mode of ignorance are worshipping ghosts. Bhutaganams. Preta bhuta. They know that these ghosts may have some power, these spirits may have some power, and they want to worship that ghost, worship that spirit, and get that power. And they may get something also. They may get something. It's kind of a deal, but you let me take over your body and I'll give you something. It's not a very good deal, and therefore it's accepted by those who are or pursued by those in the mode of ignorance. To worship a ghost or a rakshasa, the preta, to get some power, is the business of those who are in deep ignorance. But there are those who are doing that. Sometimes we read see a newspaper item that someone in India has chopped up all of his neighbors to offer to some ghost. Or these tantric things, they're in the mode of ignorance. According to the material modes people have acquired. Therefore, because the mode of goodness is decreasing, even the worship of the demigods is also now that's down. Or they're worshipping the demigods not according to the rules and regulations, but according to some mental concoction. According to some mental... The rules and regulations are too much. We're just going to do something of our own concoction by which we imagine that we're going to get something. But those who are beyond the modes of nature, what is that? Yes. Those who are beyond the modes of material nature engage in the service of Krishna. Or any fortunate person from any circumstance. If he's fortunate, he can engage in the service of Krishna. And then he, Sagunan Samiti Jaitan, Mam Chayo Vyavachari Napakti Yogina Sevate, Sagunan Samiti Jaitan Kamsudaya Kot. Those who have transcended the modes of material nature engage in the service of Krishna. Or if one is engaged in the service of Krishna, then automatically he's transcended. He must have transcended the modes of nature. Because so many people are not on that platform. They're engaged in demigod worship or demon worship or ghost worship. Okay. You have a little more kirtan, a few more minutes.